Something I forgot to mention as we got started this morning, just want to share, you could be praying for Greg and Daria this morning. Greg was in an accident early this morning. Somebody hit his car and it was undrivable, so Daria went down to pick him up. He's okay, he's just a little shaken up, so please keep Greg in your prayers this morning. I want to welcome you to the 40 Days of Prayer, which is our spiritual growth campaign that's going to start us off for the year 2020 and maybe start the decade off right for you if you begin to form habits of prayer and good spiritual disciplines. I encourage you to take out your message notes that are in the bulletin this morning. We're going to be making sure you have some fairly detailed notes throughout this whole series, and you'll find it helpful to refer to them as we go along. We've done spiritual growth campaigns here before. You might remember several years ago now, we had done the, what was it called? What on Earth Am I Here For? And a lot of you participated in that, and we all benefited from being a part of that. So we're going to do a little bit of a special focus, intense focus on spiritual growth, particularly. Why focus on spiritual growth? Why focus on personal spiritual growth? Well, to be frank, most of your problems in life come from spiritual immaturity. They come from when we're not very spiritually mature or we're not maturing well, we make bad decisions. And we build our basis for those decisions on how we feel. And how we feel is not necessarily, in fact, it really isn't a good way to make decisions. Mature people, or I like to refer to them as maturing people, since maturity is a lifelong process. Mature people or maturing people base decisions more on truth than on feelings. So let's get started on this journey together. Let's start with prayer and invite God to lead us in this. Father, we look to you for direction, and we rely on you for our personal spiritual growth. We also rely on you for growing maturity of your church on Fairview Avenue. Reveal yourself today in your word and prepare us for the journey ahead. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, the Bible tells us that growth is God's will for all of our lives. When I was out visiting my mom in December, I spent time with my great nieces, and they are just adorable and cute, and saw pictures of them in the snow out there yesterday on Vancouver Island. They don't get snow very often. This is only the second time in many years that they've had snow. They had more snow this time than they've ever had before, so the kids were out playing in the snow, and they're just really, really cute. And they're cute at that age, but if a child stays that way, if a child never grows up, then that's not cute anymore. That's kind of tragic. It is possible for us to grow old and not grow up. God says that you're not to stay as a baby in diapers. He wants you to be spiritually strong. He wants you to be a strong man of God or a strong woman of God. And that's what we're looking for here. Growth is God's will. Ephesians chapter 4 says, we are not meant to remain as children at the mercy of every chance wind of teaching. Instead, we're meant to hold firmly to the truth in love and to grow up in every way into Christ. We're not meant to remain as children, but we're meant to grow up. And you might circle the words grow up on your sheet. We're going to be looking at ways in which we can grow up, ways in which we can grow in maturity. I sometimes say, I'm not quite sure what I want to be when I grow up. At 61 years old, sometimes there are things that are beyond my sight yet, and I'm not quite sure, you know, God may take me to some place new. I hope he does as I grow and as I get older. Look at Jesus. Jesus is the ultimate picture of spiritual, emotional, and intellectual maturity, perfect spiritual health. To have the thoughts of Christ, to respond as he did, that would be beautiful for our life. What we're going to do here this morning is built on six pillars of spiritual growth, which I want to show you beforehand before we start into the prayer material. Next week, we'll really get into the prayer stuff. This week is kind of the foundation. This is sort of saying, this is where we are, this is where we're going, this is what we want to accomplish, and this is how we're going to do it. Just as there are physical laws that God invented for the universe, there are spiritual laws that God has invented for your life. If you want to grow in your life, there are certain things that God wants you to do or paths that he wants you to follow in order to do that. And if you don't do them, you're probably not going to grow all that well. The first one is this. The first one is we grow when we feed on God's word. This book that we study, the Bible, it's your soul food. Now, you know that you can't be physically healthy if you eat junk food all the time, right? You can't be spiritually healthy unless you feed on the truth, feed on the Word of God. What would health be like if every Sunday, you know, and some of us like to go out and eat after church, what would it be like if every Sunday we went out to some Sunday brunch buffet and we just pigged out and ate like crazy, and then for the rest of the week we didn't eat anything? That would not be very healthy, would it? But we try to do our spiritual life like that. We try to come to church on Sunday morning, and we pig out on that. We enjoy the worship. We dig in. We do all our prayer on Sunday morning. We do all our learning and listening on Sunday morning, and then we go home and we don't do anything else. That's not a healthy way for us to grow. I told you a few weeks back that it is not my job to feed you. It is my job to teach you how to feed yourself. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
All right. Hey, that's much better than the first time I said it. The first time you weren't so sure about that, huh? In Matthew 4:4, we read this. People need more than bread for their life, more than just the physical food we take in. They must feed on every word of God. And that's what God wants you to do. He wants you to be feeding on his word a little bit, maybe just a little bit every day, you know, depending on what time you have. If you have 10 minutes, if you have 15 minutes, if you've got 20 minutes, some of you will have that half hour or more. You know, it depends on what time you have available to you. But God wants us to be in his word every day. And he wants us to be talking to him every day, not just as part of a protracted prayer time, but also just talking to him throughout the day. One of the Sundays, we're going to focus just on that thing, on how to stay in that prayer mode all the time as we move through every day. Acts chapter 20 and verse 32 says, the word of grace is able to build you up and give you all the blessings that God has for his people. Would you like to have all the blessings that God has for you? I would. I'd like to have them just pour down on me. Well, the word of grace will build you up. When you get mature, when you grow into maturity, then God will, you'll see even more blessings as God pours them out. Now, how do you feed on the word of God? Well, we hear it, we read it, we study it, we meditate on it, we apply it. We need to be doing more than just listening in order to grow. Do you know that we forget about 95% of what we hear within 72 hours? Now, that kind of depresses me as a pastor because I put a lot of work into these sermons, but it's the truth. Unless you're writing it down, unless you're making notes or doing something in addition to the hearing, you're losing about 95% of what you're taking in a Sunday service or in even what you're listening to on the radio or watching on television. For the next 40 days, we want to teach you or reteach you how to hear, how to read, how to study, how to memorize, how to meditate, and how to apply the Word of God, specifically in the area of prayer. Here's the first action step that we're going to do for the next 40 days. A daily time with God for 40 days. I'd like you to commit to that. I'd like you to decide today, hey, I'm going to spend the next 40 days doing this because I want to grow. I want to be a different person. I want God to continue to change me to be more like Jesus. And that's how we do it. I'm going to ask you, you know, again, spend 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever time you've got to feed on the Word of God. to get into that. And that's going to make you healthier. We've talked about that in the past. We called it chair time and a number of other things. You know, chair time is just getting in a chair and reading the Word of God, right? And talking to God and listening to God is a big part of that too. Okay, here's the second pillar of spiritual growth. And this one may sound a little odd until we look at it. We grow when we learn in different ways. Did you know that God made all of us different? That we are unique? That there's nobody in the world just like you? You have a unique voice print, a unique eye print, a unique thumbprint, fingerprint, handprint, footprint. You have a unique heartbeat. And you have a unique learning style. You learn differently. And so that's why, you know, you're just sitting here on a Sunday morning, you're not going to just maybe take it in. Maybe that's not you. On your outline, you'll notice Luke chapter 3:18, it says about John the Baptist, in many different ways, John preached the good news to the people. Why did he preach in many different ways? Because people take it in many different ways. Some of you are auditory listeners or learners. You know, sitting here on a Sunday morning is the best thing in the world for you because you learn by hearing, you know? So, you know, you get what you need by listening and it goes in through the ear gate and you're able to go home and that's great. I love you people. But we know, we recognize that that's not the only way people learn. Some of you learn through the eye gate. You know, you're a visual learner. You like to read. You like to watch videos. You're a movie person. You know, you're that kind of a learner. Some of you are oral learners. Like you learn by talking. You know, you're external processors. And so as you talk about it, the more you talk about it, the more you're able to understand something, get a handle on it. Some of you learn through the ear, some through the eye, some through the mouth. And then there's people who say, I don't like to listen, I don't like to read, I don't like to talk. We call them men. I know that's a generalization, but a lot of guys are kinesthetic learners. That means they have to do things hands-on. They got to get their fingers into it in order to really get something out of it. You know, nobody learns how to play golf by watching a lecture. You have to learn to play golf by going out to the golf course and getting up on the driving range and, you know, hitting some balls so that you get the feel of it. You learn by practice, and the more you do it, the better you get, supposedly. It hasn't happened to me yet, but eventually I hope it'll happen. So kinesthetic learners are people who learn by doing things with their hands. So what we're going to do over the next 40 days is we're going to teach you one truth. That's all about prayer. But we're going to teach it through the ear. We're going to hear sermons on it every week, about 7 messages altogether. You're going to learn through the eye. Those of you who join some of the small groups will have the opportunity to watch 6 or 7 videos that will help to coach you and teach you more about prayer. You're going to do it through the mouth. You'll have a chance to discuss these things, hopefully in a small group or some other setting. And every week, you'll have notes that you can take home and you can sit over dinner and you can talk about them, or, you know, you can process them in that way. Maybe if you get in a small group, you'll do some small projects together, which is always encouraged. That's kind of fun, and that really does help with those who learn by doing. If you think about hitting a nail, this is not just hitting a nail one time, it's hitting a nail 4 times, 4 different ways, and that helps to reinforce what we're learning. And we know that God himself communicates in different ways. In Job 33, it says, God speaks in different ways, and we don't always recognize his voice. Well, sometimes we recognize his voice when he speaks in certain ways, different than others, because we process differently. Me, sometimes God has to take a 2x4 and smack it upside my head to get my attention, but you know what I mean. God speaks in different ways because we learn in different ways, and that's why writing it down is important. It helps to reinforce what you're taking in. This all makes sense? Okay. So that's where we're going, and that's how we're going to do it. This is more than just a simple sermon series. We want a lot of involvement and interaction. Okay, here's the third law of spiritual growth. We grow when we develop spiritual habits. I can't stress this too much, that the need to build good habits in your life, it's very, very important. If you build good habits in your life, then you also build good character. You realize that? Because your character begins to reflect your habits. And if they're spiritual habits, then you also begin to build a deeper walk with God. That's pretty important. How do you develop habits? Well, you develop them by repetition and practice, right? John 13, 17 says, now that you know these things, you know, the truths that Jesus was teaching, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you practice them. Now, we use the word practice to talk about repetition, you know, doing it over and over. We practice until we know how to do it right. And that may be part of this, but it's also about putting into practice in your life. It's about not just listening to it and you know, sort of getting all this head knowledge, like, what good is that to our neighbors? What good is that to our family? What good is that, you know, in terms of helping the people around us and serving God in the physical world? We need to practice them. You might want to circle that. Live them out all the time. Wash, rinse, repeat, over and over again. Well, you know, you don't get God's blessing just for knowing things, right? Just for knowing the right thing to do. You get God's blessing by doing the right thing, being led of God. And we want you to practice reading scripture, spending a few minutes a day in prayer. We want that to be part of your lifestyle. We want it to be a good habit. Just think about kindness, you know? If you are intentionally kind to someone, you decide that you're going to be kind to someone. You know, you put that in, you make that part of your practice. Now, where does that come from? Well, God is hopefully growing that spiritual fruit in you, but you can also continue to practice that by offering kindness to someone. And the more you do it, the more you're going to offer it. I was just reading a book, actually this morning a little bit, and the person said, well, why do you like me? And the woman responded, because you were kind to me. It's one way that we can express what God wants us to do. Hebrews 5:14 says, solid food, come on, there we go. Solid food is for mature people whose minds have been trained by practice to know the difference between good and evil. You know the United States Treasury, you know how they train their agents? You know, they're trained to spot counterfeit bills, right? Do you know that they never, ever once see a counterfeit bill in their training? They give them $50 bills, the real thing. They give them $100 bills, the real thing. And they make them meditate on it and study on it and memorize it and immerse themselves in it until they know it forwards and backwards. And so when you know the real deal, you automatically recognize a counterfeit. You say, oh, that's a counterfeit. How do you know? Because I know the real thing. And it's the same thing when you're memorizing God's word and when you're learning God's word. When you know the real thing, it's easy to recognize counterfeit. It's easier to recognize when someone's trying to put one over on you in the spiritual life. Now, there are a lot of habits we could teach you, but during the 40 days, there are four specific things that we're going to do, and they're listed in your bulletin this morning. First of all, something you're already doing this morning. It's the habit of large group worship. I know we're not as large a group this morning because I know some are stayed home because they were worried about the ice, some of our elder folks, and that's fine. But we gather together in worship on Sunday mornings to worship together. And that's pretty important. So there's the large group worship. Then the habit of small group fellowship. And small groups appear in a lot of different forms. Some of you were in a small group this morning if you came for Sunday school time or what we call Bible and Life time. You know, and there are other kinds of small groups that are meeting, and we are hoping to launch some new small groups as part of this. Maybe some of them will stay long term. Then there's the habit of a daily alone time with God. That's the third thing, where you pray a little bit, talk to God, read the Bible, and let Him talk to you. Now notice the progression of this. Large group, small group, individual, personal. It meets on those three levels. And then we also want to develop the habit of memorizing God's word. It's been a long time since I did scripture memorization. I'm really lousy at it. I was looking, you know, I when I set this up and when I brought in some of the materials, there was a pack of scripture cards about this thick. And those scripture verses were like this long. And I'm going, okay, I'm never going to be able to do that. So how are we going to do this? I'm sure I'm not the only one. Well, what we've done is each week we've picked one scripture that sort of centers around that theme for that week. And we're asking you to take that one scripture and memorize it. You'll notice if you look on the back of your insert this morning, on the bottom corner, there is a scripture that we're asking you to take a look at and memorize through the coming week. I'm going to do that. We made it there so you can cut out the corner and just stick it on your mirror, whatever you want to do with it. But we'd like to do some scripture memorization. So you see all of these kinds of patterns that we've been talking about this morning. We see that as we look at the early church. If you want to look at that reference from the book of Acts, you'll see that there are these patterns that develop. Okay, the last three. We're going to make these go pretty quick. We grow when we help each other grow. You cannot grow to spiritual maturity all by yourself. There is no such thing as a lone ranger. I know lots of people try to do that. They try to isolate themselves, but you cannot grow to be the person that God wants you to be in isolation. It's just not possible. You need me. I need you. We need each other. And that's the way God wired us. You know, if you read any of the passages in Corinthians about spiritual gifts, read the whole thing about the body of Christ. You know, get into 12 and 14 of 1 Corinthians, and it talks about how much we need each other and how God gifted us so that the gifts only really work well when we're working together. So nobody really grows into spiritual maturity by themselves. And the more you involve other people in your life who are strong in the Lord, the more you're going to grow. Spiritual growth is relational, and we are much better together. Romans chapter 1 and verse 12, Paul says, I want us to help each other with the faith we have. Your faith will help me, and my faith will help you. If you look at the New International Version of the Bible, it talks about mutually encouraging faith, you know, where we encourage one another. You need people in your life because God wired you that way. Do you know there are 56 commands in the scripture that have to be done in some kind of a group setting? 56 commands, most of them in the New Testament. Like, love one another, care for one another, help one another, encourage one another, pray for one another, serve for one another, serve one another, serve, share with one another, build each other up, be there, be present for each other, and on we can go. 56 different times that God says, the only way you're going to grow is in community. The only way you grow is in relationships. You have to be connected to the body of Christ in order to grow. And the most important thing that God wants you to learn in that setting is how to love. And a lot of these things teach us how to love God and how to love one another. Here's what the Bible says in Hebrews. It says, let us be concerned for one another, to help one another, to show love, and to do good. Let us not give up the habit of meeting together as some are doing. Instead, let us encourage one another all the more. And by the way, this verse is talking about small groups. You know, there were no church buildings in the first 300 years of the Christian church, right? Everybody met in homes. There was no such thing as a church building. And so that small group setting, that house church setting, that home group setting was the greatest place of learning. And that's how the Christian church began. Here's your action step, and you might want to write this down. You might see it coming already because I've talked about it a lot. Join a small group. That's a good action step. There's a sign up out there today. You say, well, I don't really want to join a small group, but maybe I can start one. What does the Bible say about that? Well, it talks about two or more gathered in my name. There am I in their midst. So you could just get together with one other person, or you can get together with two or three other people to look at this, to pray together, to study God's word together. That's a small group. So it doesn't have to be something big and formal. It can be something very small and informal if you'd like to start it. And everybody can do it. I mean, teenagers can do it. Seniors could do it. It's so easy a caveman could do it. I know that's insulting to cavemen, according to Geico. All right, number five. The fifth law of spiritual growth is this. We grow when we expect to grow. In Matthew 9:29, there's this interesting story that's told that talks about these blind men, and they ask Jesus to heal them, and they say, well, we know you can heal us. You know, there's this expectation of healing, and Jesus says to them, according to your faith, it will be done. They had faith that Jesus could do that. They expected Jesus to heal them. You know, if you dig in and become part of this over the next 40 days, you have to think about what your expectation is. If you expect nothing to happen, then nothing will happen. According to your faith, it will be done. Now, I highly recommend that when you're done here today, when you go home this afternoon, spend a couple of minutes asking yourself, what do I want to see God do in my life in the next 40 days, you know? What do I want to see God do in my life right now? I want to be stronger in this area. I want to see movement in that area. I want to see a breakthrough in this spot. You know, if there are certain things that you would really like to see God do in your life, why don't you write them down? And then start, here's a novel idea, talking to God about them. Put them before Him. Begin to focus on where you'd like to be. A year from now, who do you want to be? What kind of relationship do you want to have with your family, with your loved ones, with God? What kind of relationship with Jesus do you want to see in a year from now? What kind of maturity are you hoping to have happen in your life? Let's think about those things and put them in front of God, because God will honor that as we give Him all of ourselves and as we confess Him. He will take us forward. You know, if we don't make any deliberate changes, if we don't decide to make a change, then we are going to stay stuck where we're already stuck. It really is your choice. You know, the bottom line, just to put it really blunt, the Bible says, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. It's up to you. You have to choose to draw near to God. Where else does it say something like this? In Jeremiah, chapter 29 and verse 13, God says, you'll find me when you get serious. Let's see. Oh, missing that scripture. You'll find me when you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything else. You know, God is not going to force you to grow. He's not going to force you. He's not going to drag you kicking and screaming through growth. If you give Him your whole self, if you commit to God, He will change you and you will grow. Okay, here's the last action step. Let me just skip ahead here a little bit if I can make this thing work. Woohoo! There we go. No, there's that scripture verse I was looking for. Action step, covenant with others. Well, that's actually a fairly simple one. You ever go to the gym and you say, man, I don't know about you. I sometimes really do struggle with that. I like to go swimming. I like to do things. But if I have to go to the gym, But if I could find somebody to go with me, if we had promised to go together, we help each other along when we covenant together to do something. We grow faster when we make a decision with other people and we do it in community. It's easier to grow when you make covenant with other people to grow. So as your pastor, as your coach and friend, as somebody who loves you, I'm telling you, it all starts with prayer. That's where it begins. When you study any revival movement, any renewal movement in history, it always started with prayer. Folks, our nation needs revival, doesn't it? I mean, we are deep in the woods and kind of lost along the way. Our nation needs revival. We need renewal. We need refreshment. We need a fresh sense of joy. We need a fresh sense of the presence of God. And it's going to start with prayer, with talking to God, with putting ourselves before God, and with lifting up our nation and lifting up one another. This is where we're going for the next 40 days. This is what we have in mind. And my hope and my prayers, as with the Apostle Paul, our greatest wish and our prayer is that you will become mature Christians, or maturing, as I like to say, that you'll be growing always. Growing in Christ is a lifelong learning experience. So show up Sunday mornings. Sign up today and participate in a small group. Somebody will contact you if you sign up. Study the scriptures. Talk to God together and by yourself. Let's pray. Father, you know that I look at these people and I love them. They are good, good people. And we've been through a lot of ups and downs together, highs and lows, some crushing grief and some soaring joy. Lots and lots of different experience in life. I do believe, Lord, that our best days are ahead of us. We don't want to waste our lives. We don't want to miss out on what you have in store for us. And we do want all the blessings that you offer. If we'll just do what you say. You say our lives will be successful in your sense, in the Lord. I pray a blessing, Lord, on every person here, that as we go through these next 40 days, we'll go into it with anticipation and expectation. And I thank you in advance for what you're going to do in my life and in the lives of everybody here who chooses. Lord, we pray that as we build these habits in our lives, we'll become true women of God, true men of God. Bless your people. I pray this blessing in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.